kitchen fair, I bought the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's another episode of... there's been so many of these lately, you're going to be jonesing if I slow down. This is Fireside Chat with David James. And yes, I do believe this is a continuation of the last three parts, which had to do with the Jewish lens. There's a little difference about this show, though. It just so happened I wasn't really planning on doing a show tonight, but as I was looking for the PDF, I own the book, but my books are still packed away. The PDF of An Empire of Their Own, I was going to look through it a bit. And I came upon a document and quickly converted it to PDF from a Word doc, which is very easy to do in case you don't know that. And I believe we should read it together. Now, a lot of warnings came from this time period. And here's just another fellow who is warning us. Now, the title of the document is called Kahila Unmasked by Colonel Edwin Marshall Hadley. And it was first printed in 1934, The Plan in Action. Okay? Now, what's funny is I had told you that not only did B.F. Jackson use the spelling of C-A-H-I-L-L-A, but I told you that somebody tried to correct me when I wrote an article using that spelling, and I tried to explain to people, you see, how would you hide this document from the public? By changing the name or changing the spelling of Kahila. That's how. I have told you this technique of the Jews before. Remember, it's called the Sohar, and now they call it the Zohar. Okay? There's reasons for these things. I'm serious. And it is to hide a document like this from you. It's simple, just to change the name to Kahila with a K. K-E. Okay? And that's how it's done today. That's how they spell it today. And so people thought I was spelling it wrong. But I wasn't. You see, if you had spelled it Kahila with a C, you might have come up with B.F. Jackson's document. And you might have come up with this document as well. You understand my point? I thought so. Well, let's read from the document. It's a 7-pager, and I hope we can get it in one show. If not, we'll do it in 2. Someone once said that we prejudge what we do not know, and that we hate what we do not understand, and that, therefore, there can be no tolerance until we have a full understanding of what is tolerated, since ignorance, suppression, silence, and winking at wrongdoing or guilt are not evidences of toleration, but are positive promises of destruction. The purpose of this article is, therefore, not to persuade the skeptic that a racial or religious bogey exists which requires a challenge. Its extent is merely to acquaint the reader with certain irrefutable facts that have been unearthed and compiled over a considerable period of time. Explaining why we cannot have a rehabilitation of the United States until the citizenry as a whole is made aware of the existence of the predatory element in the body politic, that by the evidence revealed, as well as by its own testimony, is proven responsible for the depressed times upon which the nation has fallen. Now remember that this was first printed in 1934, okay? This is right after the stock market crash, the depression, right? This is right after the stock market crash. Many Americans of sterling worth wield vigorous pens and raise clarion voices against the red, pink, and yellow, quote-unquote, enemies within. Take note of that. The red, pink, and yellow. I've not heard that. I've heard of the red. Let's see what the document says. However, for some unaccountable purpose, these attack other patriots, just as sincere, who have reason to include the Jew as being in the forefront of the subversive movements. They act as though they were heaven-sent and have, as their mission, the prevention of the reigning of the specter of race hatred, quote-unquote. They refuse in their championship of the Jew, per se, to admonish him, as did Oscar Strauss, to be about the task of cleaning out his Aggian stable. It both shocks and stirs the layman at first to be told that America harbors a people who are not content with merely enjoying its hospitality and its free institutions on a basis of sportsmanlike competition with all other races, but who actually cherish attaining rule over the entire earth, imposing their own peculiar brand of civilization and culture on all countries everywhere, whether those countries like it or not. Does that sound familiar to you? Democracy? The central bank? Queers, LGBT. Okay? As the story unfolds, the scope of this morbid craving and the ramifications of progress towards its accomplishment present phases so fanciful that the average sane individual wonders if the whole thing is not a fantasy. And if the scores of investigators who have made tremendous sacrifices to ferret out the facts may not have been drug addicts. The whole cabal is so colossal, its underlying motives are so foreign to anything in Christian psychology, that one becomes mentally befuddled before the recital has gone very far, and rejects the whole nefarious program as a nightmare of vicious relators. Unfortunately, it is this reaction, this wholesome mind defense mechanism of the average Christian, which over the years has contributed more than all else to the plot's success. You know, that's something it's hard to understand. Right? Aren't you confused that these Christians have contributed more to the plot's success than they should have? They should have known better, should they have not? Should they not have? And the article continues, if a man or race of men propagate a big enough plot, normal people will decry it as preposterous and refuse to give it credence. Thus, they really reveal the extent of their own limitations. They would never think of doing such a thing. Remember I told you about that? Because I wouldn't lie to you. You think, or you wouldn't lie to me. You think that all people, no matter what color, no matter what religion, no matter what race, whatever, they wouldn't do that to you. But just frankly, you've been lied to about this equality. Listen, like I say, and I'll expand on this a little bit. Men think differently than each other of the white race. Women think differently than men. Okay? Now, when you think about that, the Jews think totally different. They're a total different species than the rest of the races. They have mixed with all these races, but they're... You ever notice, I always point this out, that you ever notice if somebody's black and white that 9 times out of 10, if not 9.9 times out of 10, they side with the black? Or with the Jew side of them? Or with the Mexican side of them? Or they never side, very rarely, rare is the case that they side with the white side of them, these hybrids. So, let's go on in this thing. They would never think of doing such a thing. Therefore, it cannot be possible that anyone else would do so. So as long as they have this inherent inhibition, it is comparatively easy to keep them in the dark and persuaded that the plot is a myth. And so long as such an assumption is successfully encouraged, the predatory program can be pushed to full accomplishment. When these normal and wholesome-minded people later awaken to the fact that it has by no means been a myth, it may then be too late to do anything about it. For considerations may have been brought about where all opposition to the plot can be suppressed, and the slightest protest or remonstrance... Now, I've never heard that before, remonstrance. Look it up, folks. Punished with death, and has been shown to have occurred in the country once known as Russia. Russia. I said Russia. That's that Boston thing, you know, we put ours where they don't belong. I say pizza, right? I just thought you'd enjoy that. Russia. Okay. This is a quote. The main purveyors of funds for the revolution, however, were neither the crackpot Russian millionaires nor the armed bandits of Lenin. The real money primarily came from certain British and American circles, which for a long time past had lent their support to the Russian revolutionary cause. The important part played by the wealthy American Jewish banker Jacob Schiff in the events in Russia is no longer a secret. Now, I will interject there, and we had been sending money to Russia, and they would have never survived if we hadn't been sent. Woodrow Wilson was sending money, okay? Just think about what I'm telling you. What he just told you is the truth. There are monies coming in to fund this so-called takeover, this revolution, so-called. See, there is really nothing to have a revolution against. Because Russia was a good country. It was a Christian country. And it was had the richest man in the world and his family, and they were decent people. The Russian people were happy at this time. There was no revolution in their hearts. I mean, maybe a few of them were convinced by these Jews, but it was a wonderful place. And just as it always is, these Jews are always looking to spill the blood of the Christian, to destroy the churches. And they found a place of doing this while World War I was going on, and all eyes were on World War I. And of course, the Russian soldiers, many of them were out of the country fighting in World War I. You understand? It's the same thing they did when they did the Armenian thing. They sent the Armenian armies out to fight a war that was not worth fighting, and while the soldiers were out, they pulled this off. Also, while the war was happening. So, the article continues. Regardless of what may be said to the contrary by these racial misfits, whom we shall describe presently, we are not anti-Semites, as the term is commonly accepted. And of course it's not accepted by me, because we are the Semitic people. We and the those of Ishmael. Now, all the people that are in the Middle East are not Semites necessarily. They've been race mixed. But I'm sure there must be some of Ishmael left there. I'm just not sure where. See, he says here, though. So in other words, if we say anti-Semite, that means anti-white. Ishmael was white. And of course, we wouldn't be anti-white unless we were traitors of our race. There are those who are. And they truly do fit the definition of anti-Semite. The purpose of using the word Semite is the same purpose of using the word for baby, which is fetus. When you're killing a fetus, people don't even know what that means necessarily, right? But if you were killing a baby and saying that in public, the people would rise, you see? Well, the Jews didn't want to appear like they were paranoid and this and that by saying anti-Jewish. You're anti-Jewish. You're anti-Jewish. So they tricked the people and used the word Semites, and like they're pretending they're Semites now when they're not. That's all I want to tell you about that, okay, for now. But in probing into the true causes behind the dreary times that have come upon the world, a stupefying array of facts has been unearthed about the so-called Hebrew people. When he says so-called, that means alleged. They're not the Hebrew people, okay? Jews are not Hebrew people. Such information has not been gleaned, there's one of my words I use, by prejudiced busybodies listening at keyholes. Most devastating of all, corroborating evidence has been found in the writings and speeches of representative Jews themselves. All of this builds up a staggering case in logic, confirmed by the daily events throughout the world, the whole world, but particularly in the United States. that the time has arrived when the Jewish people prophetically accept the promise that all non-Jews will come under the hegemony of Judah. They're not Judah, though. Okay, I'm not sure if this fellow understands this or not, but you that have been with me for long enough and with all of us at EFR, you know how to read between those lines, right? Non-Jewish peoples laugh at such an idea as utterly absurd. What idea was that? That all non-Jews will come under the hegemony of Judah. In other words, the New World Order for the Jews. Non-Jewish peoples laugh at such an idea as utterly absurd. But no Jew is laughing at it. And no, they say Gentile, we'll say non-Jew, no Israelite, who is aware of the facts as to what's going on, is laughing at it either. So long as the Jews have a plan and are working collectively as a race, which they're not a race, with such an objective, Christian patriots can do very little to save the nation from its present economic and financial morass. Because at every turn they find a mysterious obstruction blocking constructive rehabilitation. If they combine in organization to get business done en masse, soon Jews are knocking at their doors and inviting themselves into their ranks, demanding that receiving full social equality and official recognition. They demand and receive full social equality. I just wanted to read that again. And official recognition. See, if you can't beat them, you join them, you understand? Whereupon delusive, disintegrating mischief begins to manifest itself. Quarrels appear and are multiplied. Doctrines are subverted. The effect and force of the effort is emasculated. Soon the whole movement has become abortive. And no one can definitely put a finger on just where the trouble started or exactly what nurtured it into such disastrous channels. Can you say the Tea Party? You understand? Nevertheless, people of a studious turn of mind, in many instances, the foreign offices and military of the great Christian governments have not been content merely to admit the elusive existence of such subversive influences. They have taken upon themselves to trace these factors to do their source. I mean, trace these factors to their source. So it has come about that dozens of entirely reputable historians and hundreds of official espionage officers and agents, all working separately, unknown to each other, and at different times, have finally arrived at the same staggering disclosures and conclusions. This article is more or less a brief compendium of authentic data that they have brought to light. And now you know, this should explain all of it to you, okay? Now you know why they wanted to have a secret society within a secret society. And why in every country they have a state within the state. That is, so they can know what's going on. They're involved in all of the CIA, FBI, all that stuff, so they can know what's being investigated, so that they can stop these investigations and curtail them, okay? You just think about that for a while. All right? So he says here, the Illuminati, under the renegade Weishaupt, became in time an openly destructive satanic society with everything in its doctrines and rituals, the exact antithesis of Christianity. And that's what the books of the Talmud are as well. You see, Freemasonry is a religion. You'll have the Freemasons argue with you about that, but all you have to say is, then why do you go worship at the temple if it's not a religion? It's also a science. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. I've heard my friends say okay so many times, I have to say it once in a while now. You see? Enticing its victim into the first initial degrees by the most beautiful and altruistic of fraternal ideals and noble aspirations. Gradually, it wove about them a net of murderous Satanism. Implications in secret rites at length bound them securely to the organization with chains of steel. As Mrs. Webster has shown, the ideals, quote-unquote, of the Illuminism were... Okay, here's the ideals. Now, this is funny. This is 1934, and he's speaking about the Illuminati. All right? When did you first hear about the Illuminati? The Illuminati. I believe that I first heard about the Illuminati somewhere after 9/11. So these are the ideals, quote-unquote, of Illuminism. Hatred of God and all forms of religion. Destruction of private property and inheritance. Absolute social and racial equality. Promotion of class hatred. Number four, destruction of all forms of either monarchical, or democratic governments, including civil liberties, such as freedoms of speech, of the press, of assembly, and of trial by jury. Now, I must stop right there, okay? The monarchies is definitely, that is definitely true. As far as democratic governments, he's incorrect about this. You mean republic governments, republican governments. Republics. Because they're the ones that brought this democracy to us. And the founding fathers knew that democracy was a vile form of government, knew that it was poison, and wanted nothing to do with it. Okay? So, destruction of all the monarchies, for sure, I've explained that to you before. Number five, destruction of all nationalism, love of country, patriotism, and allegiance to civil or political rulers. Number six, abolition of marriage and practice of free love. Now, we know that there were 21 of these, so he didn't list them all. There are 21 goals of the Illuminati, and the Illuminati are the Jews. Period. They hate God. They hate all forms of religion, especially Christianity. They all, of course, do not want private property. Absolutely. Or inheritance, because then you might be able to compete with them as a white man. And they don't want you to have any money or private property. You know that they've brought this social and racial equality. And they do promote class hatred. However, we'll just continue. On page 4 of report number 2290... 71st Congress, 3rd Session, Investigation of Communistic Propaganda in America, the same articles are advanced as the definition of Russian Jewish communism in its fundamental aspirations. But wait. Listen to what espionage agents of several countries have attested before responsible committees. Quote, this is going to be the quote. The Jews of the world divided the earth first into two hemispheres, the Eastern and the Western. Now, do you remember what B.F. Jackson said about that? That's another attesting of this. Okay? Are you ready for this? As the United States lies in the Western Hemisphere, we will confine ourselves to that alone. The Kahila is constructed on the symbol of seven. First, however, over each hemisphere is put a prince of Jewry known as a sponsor. Okay, we're going to get some clarification now of the body of Shaitan. There is a sponsor for the Eastern Hemisphere and a sponsor for the Western Hemisphere. He was told you that, B.F. Jackson told you there was a prince for each of those. All right? Reliable authority has attested, by the way, the sponsor for the Western Hemisphere is none other than, quote unquote, a pinch hitter for presidents. That would be Bernard Baruch. Which explains why this gentleman occupies his position of such tremendous economic, financial, and political importance in American state affairs. He is the absolute overlord of about 10 millions of Jews in this Western Hemisphere. He orders their lives and their affairs, and they in turn make it their business to see that he is kept ensconced in his power over American officialdom. I hope you're listening. This is just another clarification of the Kehillah and the body of Shaitan. I've already explained to you what the 1,000 points of light are. The sponsor for the Eastern Hemisphere is not of consequence in this article, but do not miss the very important fact that both sponsors for both hemispheres are accountable only to Akkad Ha'am, the unknown and uncrowned king of Jewry throughout the earth, whose identity is kept guarded secret. Akkad Ha'am rules the Jews of the earth by an effective, devastating system. He has, and has been said, his prince sponsor in each hemisphere. Then under these prince sponsors falls the 7x7 organization. Now this is where B.F. Jackson either got this from or vice versa. Under each sponsor there are 7 arc censors. Under each arc censor there are 7 ministers. Can you say Joel Osteen? Can you say Billy Graham? Can you say John Hagee, etc., etc., etc.? Under each minister, there are 7 heralds. Under each herald, there are 7 couriers. Did you know that Rothschild has his own mail system? His own courier mail system? Under each courier, there are 7 shriveners. Let's look this word up. I'm not sure what this word means. Shriveners. So give me a second and we'll take a look. It's kind of like a word like governor, almost. Let me just check this again. Shriveners. Yes. It did not match any document. How do you like that? Maybe he spelt it wrong. Shriveners. Let's look at that. Shriners. Oh! A shrivener is a clerk, scribe, or notary. Scrivener. Okay, and he used it with an H, so there is no H in it. Yes, okay, that's the difference. Under each scrivener, there are 7 auditors, and under each auditor, there are 7 mutes. Now you're hearing a testimony again from somebody that is telling you something that I have told you. And you can take that for what it's worth. This figures out to almost 1 million influential Jews in each hemisphere, organized into a tight, rigidly controlled body, the body of Shaitan. Every man knowing all the men under him, but only the man, the one above him, knowing every man that is under him, but only the one man above him, and all responsible to the prince sponsor at the top. There is no Jew of consequence in North America who is not involved in this terrible organization, the Kahila. You wonder now why they might want to hide this document and why it was spelled Kahila with a C and now they spell it with a K-E instead of C-A? I thought you'd understand that. You see, this is very important to understand that these people, they're not really even people, they're the most subtle beasts of the field. They're involved. I mentioned to you that, like the god Janus, they have two faces. There were testimonies to this. There's one face that they show the world, and another face they show when only they're around each other. That's how it got out, that they admitted that the protocols of the learned elders of Zion are Jewry's property. They were in a Shriner's auditorium, and they thought that they were among themselves, and they admitted to it during that meeting. I mean, we all knew it anyway, but I'm just saying. Terrible, at least in its power for predatory control of Christian society, or who is not listed somewhere down the line on the roster of its obedient adherents, until this organization is broken and stamped out of American life, the United States can know neither peace nor stability, not to mention safety. For its control puts it in perfect working mechanism with all the influential Jews and European continent and the Orient. It's an organization, folks. You know, I just read in one of the news stories that the fellow says, you know the old saying, and he said, you put three Jews in a room and they'll come out with four new organizations, something like that. I'm just paraphrasing. If there's one thing the Jews are, they are organized. The Negroes couldn't organize anything, but the NAACP was organized by the Jews. And we all know it. I've told you this recently, that there will be no peace in America as long as the Jews are allowed to be in America. There'll be no safety, there'll be no stability. Did you notice how there's no stability in America? Do you notice how everything's chaos? At this moment, it is making and unmaking governments, starting or stopping wars at its pleasure, controlling the most intricate dealings of the League of Nations, presently the United Nations, dominating political officialdom, determining the money standards of nations, including America's directing its economics, intimidating or controlling the nation's newspapers, radio, and movie screen so that nothing can be released by any of these that is inimical to its far-flung interests. That's what the mutes of the Kahila do. Okay, here's a quote again. Wars are the Jews' harvest, for with them we wipe out the Christians and get control of their gold. We have already killed 100 million of them, and the end is not yet. I'll have you, I shall, let me take a sip of this warm cocoa as I'm here by the fire with you. Did you know that there was gold at the bottom of the two towers, the twin towers? And it disappeared in 9/11? So this quote should have some legitimacy, of course. Wars are the Jews' harvest, for with them we wipe out Christians and get control of their gold. We have already killed 100 million of them, and the end is not yet. Now, this is 1934. This is before all the wars that have come after this, right? And during this. So they killed so many people in Russia, it is not even funny. And even after this was written, they were still killing more and more and more of them. Careful students and economists who are not in its pay have traced the prevailing depression in America directly to its threshold. Presidents have been elected by its money. Its directing heads and their satraps, often camouflaged politely in press and Congress as international bankers, quote unquote. Let me start that right there. Its directing heads and their satraps, often camouflaged politely in press and Congress as international bankers, have been assiduously engaged at buying in America at bankrupt prices, completely looting and eliminating the United States permanently from its pathway as a major power, reducing it to the status of a third-rate vassal state subject to their officer, Isaacs, Sassoon, Samuels, et al., in the so-called British, quote-unquote, cabinet. Do you now know why the Jews do not want to make America great again? You must remember now, I will remind you, that I told you that this election, with Donald Trump coming in, no matter if he was real or if he was fake, that this election would reveal something very important to you. Let me review it with you. Donald Trump said that he wanted to make America great again. Donald Trump said that he wanted to bring the jobs back to America. Donald Trump said he wanted to straighten out the immigration problem and close the borders. Donald Trump said he wanted to make America more conducive to whites. It's been very hostile. And Donald Trump said he was going to free the church. So, no matter what Donald Trump is or is not, what is important and was important is that whoever came out against Donald Trump in that election revealed these facts. What are the facts they've revealed? Listen very careful now, right? They revealed that they did not want to make America great again. They revealed that they did not want to bring jobs back to America. They reveal, etc. You understand what I'm saying now? Do I have to say all the things? They don't want to make America more conducive to whites again. They don't want to close the borders. They don't want to straighten out the immigration problem. Who came out against Donald Trump? All the Jews came out against Donald Trump. All of Hollywood, mostly all of Hollywood, came out against Donald Trump. And more than that, your Oprahs and all these people who said, we're going to leave America if Donald Trump becomes elected, because we don't want a great America. We don't want to make America great again. We don't want America to be a white country. We don't want jobs here. So what he says right here in this article is a testimony of exactly that. Listen, careful students and economists who are not in its pay have traced the prevailing depression in America directly to its threshold. Presidents have been elected by its money, its directing heads with their satraps, often camouflaged politely in press and Congress as international bankers, have been assiduously engaged, listen, in buying in America at bankrupt prices, completely looting and eliminating the United States permanently from its pathway as a major power, reducing it to the status of a third-rate vassal state subject to their officer, Isaacs, Sassoon, right? Okay. And again, I will mention this now. I'm going to add to this even. Imagine that. Yes. You see, when they did what they did to Russia, I told you the soldiers were sent out to war. When they did what they did in Armenia, the soldiers were sent out to war. And they want to do that here in America, and they've got our soldiers all over the world instead of here. How about connecting that dot, ladies and gentlemen? How about that? And Donald Trump's talking about bringing all the soldiers back, and what's the reaction? Oh, no, 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 we can't do that. We can't do that. We got to keep perpetual war going. We need to keep... Donald Trump said that he's tired of having to sign letters to mothers and fathers and families across the nation telling them he's sorry that their children are being killed. I hope I've made this clear, so clear to you that you understand it now. See, it doesn't matter. What I told you doesn't matter whether Donald Trump is good, bad, or indifferent. What matters is what he was standing for, the platform he was standing for on his campaign was something that revealed to you that all these other people did not want America to be great again. That's the bottom line, okay? And there's much more to it, as I've told you. And much more than I have told you. What the Jews and Hollywood and all these people, they're destroying. You must realize this is just like the Pharisees when Christ came and he began to heal. And he began to, the blind began to see. And the lame began to walk, and etc., etc. The Pharisees had spent a lot of time making these people sick and ill through their, I'm sure, their wrong type of sermons and their black magic that they practiced back then as they still do today. They spent a lot of time making society sick and people ill and blind and hopeless, etc., etc. So they became very angry when Christ came and began to turn those things around and heal those people. The blind could see, the deaf could hear, the dumb could speak, the lame could walk. And this is exactly what we're talking about. See, Christ was making Israel great again. In a sense. And these same people, the offspring of Cain and Edom, have done this to our countries again. And now that somebody wants to come and undo it and make America great again, and all the other things I spoke about and more, They're very angry. They're very upset. We spent a lot of money and a lot of time. We bought all these we bought all the papers, and we gave all our money and all these things, say the Jews, to make America sick and to put it under a spell. Who the hell are you to come and try to make it great again? We're trying to destroy it. What are you doing? Is that clear to you? I hope it's as clear as a clear blue sky. And the article goes on. Let me check my time real quick. I get talking, you know. No, we're doing all right. So, it says, this is the atrocious cabal to whom President Wilson referred to on his return from Versailles when he said that, quote, there was a secret power in Europe with which he could not cope, unquote. This is a terrible power that had started the World War in furtherance of its schemes, so powerful in British as well as German affairs. That the statement made is made on reliable authority, that orders were given to the British Admiralty and Air Forces that at no time during the war were Berlin, Hamburg, or Frankfurt to be raided, shelled, or bombed, because their homes and families were there and they had no intention of suffering physically or jeopardizing their lives in this war, which they had conceived for their own world plans and financial profit. Haig, English field marshal, strictly under the thumb of his Kahilla agent secretary, Philip Sassoon, of the family of Baghdad Jews, gave it out that the English were too humane, quote-unquote, to bomb cities holding innocent women and children. That suited gullible Christians and heaped full odium on the Germans, quote-unquote, who ordered such atrocities from Berlin to be perpetrated on London. The Kahilla officials had perfected their power over Germany and the Germans long before the outbreak of the war. In fact, their ascendancy dates back to Bismarck, the half-Jew. Bismarck's mother was the Jewess Luisa Mencken, who saw to it that Germany was turned over to the princes of Jewry back in 1870, exactly as America is being turned over to the princes of Jewry in 1934. The youth movement of Germany smashing this oligarchy will be viewed in the proper perspective as one of the great social phenomena of our times. Consider the war situation after its aftermath in Germany. A network of power. The Illuminati's Kahilla network, in other words, the Illuminati is the Kahilla network of power, is a mosaic of the world's most famous personalities. Financiers, corporate chairmen, and political figures. At the top, we find the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Habsburgs, and the other bloody dynasties, quote-unquote, through lower-level servants and subordinates. The inner circle secretly dominates and controls America's political process. President Bill Clinton, House Speaker Newt Gingrich, Senate Majority Leader. Now, how could that be? Is somebody writing more to this? They must have. This must be an addition to this, obviously, because they weren't around in 1934. President Bill Clinton, House Speaker Newt Gingrich, Senate Majority Leader Robert Dole, these men and hundreds of others slavishly serve the haughty elitists of the inner circle. They carry out the elitist agenda for world government, Luciferian worship, and global financial order. They obey the lawless instructions of the Illuminati, the men who lay claim to supernatural origins and have developed an occult strategy, aorta, a Chad, order out of chaos. That's Ordo Ab Kao. I don't know where they're getting this. Designed to mold the world into a totalitarian New Age kingdom by the magical year 2000. Remember I told you that they were going to Daddy Bush in 2000, right at the beginning, was going to put a gold capstone upon the pyramid in Giza. It never happened. There can be little doubt that the diabolical leader of the inner circle is possessed by Satan and raised to become the world leader from birth. This man, the little horn, quote-unquote, of the book of Daniel, will complete the work of the tyrants of bygone ages. All these past dictators served the same occult system and the very same master. Likely today's Illuminati leadership, they knelt before the altar of a great solar deity whose heinous symbol is the so-called Star of David. We are now caught up in an epic, heart-stopping, and climactic struggle between good and evil, a frightening and ominous picture of the 10 kings prophesied to reign over the earth. These 10 men, the inner circle, guided by the Akkad Ha'am, are prophesied to have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. We must expose this colossal plot. So what I think happened was he wrote the beginning of this and somebody through time has added to this as they've passed it around. Obviously. As Christians and true patriots, it is both our duty and our obligation to expose this colossal plot. No matter who it angers, no matter who disbelieves it, we must shine the inspirational light of Jesus Christ and his truth on the gross darkness which now encompasses our nation and the world. In tragic obedience to their hellish master, the Illuminati unscrupulously plot to harm and destroy God's elect, and they foolishly make war against the one who sits on the throne. In rejecting the truth of Yahweh, God, and embracing the lie, these deceived men are bringing to pass the striking end times prophecy before told in the book of Revelation. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is, it says, Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. In the Bible, the prophets of old were often accused of being insane or crazy, but ask yourself, what does a society of crazy people call the sane? Today, men who expose people's sin and those who would control us, the sin and the resultant madness or double-mindedness are called something besides crazy. They're called a cult. A cultist is one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies. That's not the true definition, but that's what they say. Who has a high level of financial giving to a Christian cause. Who homeschools his children, who has accumulated survival foods and has a strong belief in the Second Amendment, and who distrusts big government. In the minds of the people, a cult leader is equivalent to a crazy man, quote-unquote. No one wants to be called a cult leader, quote-unquote, and no one wants to think differently lest they be considered in a cult, quote-unquote. So the people, like dumb goyim, Yiddish for cattle, follow a multitude to do evil. You shall not follow a multitude in doing evil. And madness it is. God ordained madness besetting them as a result of their sin. Yahweh will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. The good news? Very large numbers of people are beginning to realize what their politicians and their Jewish-controlled media are doing to them. A growing number of serious Christians are fervently praying for national repentance and revival. Truth is getting out, and the wicked antichrists are becoming fearful as they lose their sorcerer-like influence over our captive nation, a nation unmistakably unmistakably stirring from its stupor. People are coming to their senses, and as prayer continues and grows greater, victory grows nearer. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Well, it was interesting to read that to you. Interesting that somebody doesn't tell you that that's the end of his thing and they continue. But maybe that's just the way it is. What can I say? You see, the Jewish lens and the Jewish propaganda has had a great effect on all of our minds. And the only way to shed it from you is to, the Father can do it, He can do it quickly, or you can stop feeding on the Jewish lens and off the Jewish lens and begin to feed on the word of the Father and His great and mighty counsel. Once you do, you'll be able to measure up the lies against the wonderful truth, and you will be set free like the captives when Christ rose from the dead. I'll see you next time, folks. I'm enjoying these shows, and I hope you are too. Pray for me, and I'm praying for all of Israel. Pray for all of Israel. I'm not talking about the Jews. If you're going to pray for them, pray imprecatory prayers, please.
Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wonder what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. Stop working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow on you from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm grows. And the owls don't know that it just